So he's got his own kingdom and kings that report to him. Rebellion has been passed down through generations and worked through people by evil spirits or evil kings. And if you want scripture, look at Ephesians 6. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. And Matthew 17, Jesus refers to this as well. So I just want to say it right now, rebellion is a spirit, okay? It's not a personality trait, it's a spirit. So right about now, some people will be like, I'm out of here, and I don't want to hear this anymore, and I'm just going to tell you about Proverbs 17:10 to encourage you. A rebuke cuts into a man of discernment deeper than 100 lashes cuts into a fool. Listen, when God brings correction, it actually, if a man has discernment, if a person has discernment that this is the Lord, it cuts deep to bring healing and revelation. It doesn't cut to cause lashes and wounding. See the difference in that? And so Proverbs 17:11 says, a rebellious person seeks only evil. Now, this is where I struggled with, because I'm like, I don't seek only evil. So I had to like really pray on this for a while. So Proverbs 17:11 says, a rebellious person seeks only evil. So a cruel messenger will be sent against him. Now, when I was praying on this, I remember the days when I sought evil in my dead life before I knew Christ. And my heart was not to seek evil when I was saved. But yet I had characteristics that came with me because I had opened doors that I needed to deal with. And so I don't want you to get so caught up in the black and white of because that's what the enemy was trying to get me to be, you know, believe is, well, you're only seeking evil. I'm like, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm seeking to be pure and holy before my Father. But here's what the part that the Lord was trying to get me to see. The second part of that verse, so I'm going to read this. A rebellious person seeks only evil. So a cruel messenger will be sent against him. He holds hostage the mind, emotions, money, home, marriage, and physical healings. In my case, it was a physical healing. So rebellion opens the door for the cruel messenger to be sent against him. That scares me. The sin of rebellion, it only wounds your soul. Rebellion wounds your soul. It doesn't soothe your soul, it ruins your soul. It'll masquerade as a soothing spirit, but its ultimate goal is destruction against your life. Because if you can go into rebellion, when you recognize it's rebellion, you know, it's huge at that moment. It's like a life choice. And so God's not withholding blessings from anybody. Even if you're rebellious, he doesn't have the ability to withhold anything because he poured everything out through his son at the cross to bring us back to redemption. So don't mistake what I'm saying, that because you're rebellious, you don't get to be blessed by God. That's not true. According to this scripture, an evil taskmaster gets assigned to you because of a legal entry point of rebellion, according to the scripture. And so, now God sometimes will hold blessings. Now this blows my mind, but it's only for our own good. It's to bring us into truth, because just think of if you fed your kid candy every day because they liked it. Is that good for you? No. And so it's the same thing with our Heavenly Father. He won't feed us trash. He cannot feed us trash, but he can't reward us if we're only eating trash. Does that make sense? So, but the blessings get blocked by the enemy because of an open door. And so rebellion is not just an outward behavior, it's an attitude. And it's always an attitude of our heart, hidden deep in, maybe still calloused over, or maybe surfacing, and when it gets close, now you've all had a sliver in your life, and when you have somebody poke on that sliver, the first thing you do is go, ow, don't. because it hurts. But if it's a sliver of rebellion and it's surfacing in your heart, the grace is here for the gentle surgeon, Jesus, to remove it when you renounce agreement with it. So, here's a couple things. Rebellion resists authority. Now, I remember in my old life, I resisted all forms of authority. And it brought lots of problems in my life. It's likened to witchcraft. It makes us unprofitable. It brings judgment upon us. Now, God doesn't bring the judgment. I want you to know that. The door open brings judgment from the enemy's camp because of that verse. If you look back to Proverbs 17:11, where the cruel taskmaster, where the cruel messenger is assigned to block. You know, there's like a legal thing. And so, you know, some of you might be stirring right now and going, oh, I think I have some of this. Here's the thing, and some of you might be like, I'm not so sure. Here's a few possibilities you're in rebellion. You ready for them? Only a couple? Okay. A few possibilities you're in rebellion, letting the king of darkness rule through you. One, you know best. Parents, spouse, authority, anyone in a charge, you question everything and everyone, often speaking over them or change the words while they're speaking. We've seen this in services, you know, like a holy prophetic word will be released and a person with a rebellious spirit will actually change the wording while they're saying their, what do we call those? Proclamations. And it actually causes confusion because they're releasing something completely different than the Spirit of God. Here's another one, sweet-looking rebellion. Sweet-looking rebellion. It means you say all the right stuff with a smile and appear to be very submissive to the Lord, but the rebellion and stubbornness is rooted deep in your heart and you have no intention of changing or receiving correction or possibly questioning, could this be me? Psalm 68:6, the rebellious dwell in a dry land. 4, not open to correction and dig your feet. So for those of you who think you know best, I want to remind you, I used to say that to my kids all the time when they were little, who knows best? And they'd say, you do, Mom. And now as they got older, I'd say, who knows best? And they're like, it's not you, Mom, you know. But I want to tell you who knows best, it's God. God knows best. And so, I know there's people in here who are like, you know, I think that's part of the reason why I'm stuck in this spot right now. And I didn't know it, and I've been crying out. I'm going to give you a little more, and then we're going to do a proclamation. So, God knows best, and we need to take out the strong man, meaning that evil ruler that had access, you know, because we opened the door to rebellion. A house divided against itself cannot stand. So, you know, some people take that and think, oh, that's my marriage. Some people think it's the church. How about you and the Holy Ghost? Every kingdom divided against itself will be laid waste. And every city or household divided against itself will not stand. There is a spirit of rebellion that is attached to that. Here's a scripture, I don't know which one it is, because my notes got so messed up, because somehow it got pocket dialed or something. But if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or again, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and steal his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man? Then he can plunder his home. Now, I used to think this was, the way that the Lord showed this to me in this way is we have to bind up the small man, and that's the one that's assigned to us because of the spirit of rebellion that is in our heart, you know. And so he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather me scatters. So we need to bind the strong man, these kings, these evil kings, and we get our soul healed, and we can then deal with the woundings in our soul. And so when we rebuke a spirit, it will leave when it knows it has no authority anymore. Now, this is huge because we do altar call ministry a lot, and we'll pray and, you know, we'll see something go, but the enemy will come right back and torment them longer or harder, and it's because they don't know their authority in Christ Jesus. And I really feel like this is a season we're in where we're going to know our authority in him, but we have to deal with the junk in the trunk so that the enemy has no hold on us. And if you don't know that you have junk in your trunk, ask the Lord, is there any junk in my trunk that we're dealing with? And let him show you. Sometimes it comes in a dream. Sometimes it comes through the word. Sometimes it comes, well, from your spouse, you know. And usually when it's from the spouse, it's not done in love, but it still could be a thread of truth spoken by the flesh. But is it a sliver in your heart? Just saying. So, you know, I love when in Isaiah 30:26, when Jesus talks about binding up the brokenhearted, when they talk about binding up the brokenhearted, we love to see victory in the believers. And, you know, there's a lot of brokenhearted people that we come across, and we all came from broken heart, most of us. And so when we have victory and we overcome and there's still people struggling with brokenness, we love to cheer them on through Jesus and the call that they have on their life to help them learn their identity in them. And so, you know, all the angels are cheering and yahooing when somebody comes into their true identity. But there's so much fragmentation and so much deception out there designed to keep you out of who you are in him, out of the center of who he is for you. And so one of the things was rebellion, this little sliver of rebellion. So you know, I did this prayer. It's really long, and it wasn't meant to be, I didn't feel like it was going to be a publicly thing, or I would have shortened it down to two sentences, but I really feel like the Holy Ghost tricked me, and that this is a now word for the body of Christ. And so if you feel led, if any of this stirred in your heart, if you feel like you've got a taskmaster that is pushing and grinding on you, you know, let me just tell you one thing. After I did this, I felt completely different. I felt so great and so peaceful and restful. And one of the things the Lord told me was, no more notes, no more lists. And I'm like, okay, I could do it. I'll do it for a day. And he's like, no more lists. And I'm like, well, how's that going to work? Because I run the partnership. How am I going to remember when somebody's credit card needs to be changed, or I got to call and say, did you get compromised? Or maybe a word of the month got cracked and I got to resend it. What do I do? How do I do that? He said, no more lists. When he says no more lists, that means no more lists for me, okay? Because I'm done with being rebellious towards him. And so in my case, it was no more lists, and it was so weird. It was like I was walking without a left leg for a while. And what I learned was his legs are better than my legs, and he'll carry me. And if I need to know something, Holy Spirit, you're going to have to tell me, remind me, because this is your deal, not my deal. I'm not managing any programs. I'm going to manage my heart towards you, and then you do what you want when you want and not the way I want. And so that was really awesome, and it changed my life, and I'm still not doing lists. I mean, this is really cool, but I have to tell on myself. So I have this house that I was rehabbing, and I hired a contractor, a friend of mine, to come in and finish some of the stuff. And so he had a list, okay? And it was penciled, and it was on a piece of cardboard, and it was nailed to the closet, and the last place to work was on the closet. And I went over there to do some cleanup, and I saw his list. And without even thinking about it, I took his list down, and I started checking off everything that he had done, you know? And I looked at it, and I realized what I was doing, and I'm like, that felt good. And then I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, Lord. It wasn't my list, but that felt good. And I actually heard Jesus laugh, and I threw it in the garbage because the list was done, and he's not working for me anymore. But I thought, oh, how easy it comes back, you know. And so I'm, you know, and I could justify why I need to make a list, you know, but I'm not going to. He's going to lead and guide me always. I'm going to rely on him fully. And the season we're in, you know, years ago I heard Holly talk, you know, about people rely on each other, you know, and they share with each other. And I was just a baby. And I heard her talk about the Christians in China being persecuted and how they would find their way to the meetings either by a light of the Holy Ghost or an angel of light, or, you know, they would have to listen to the still small voice and know where to go. And that was a long time ago, and the way I heard it, I thought, man, I am so dependent on my friends for so much, and I am not even, and because she said, develop the gift of listening to Holy Spirit and relying on him. And I thought, I'm going to do that. I'm going to go after that. So I purposely stopped asking my friends for advice and what they would do or how they would say this. And I started saying, Holy Spirit, what would you do? How do I do this? I got this situation coming up. I got to go to a baby shower. You know I don't like them. What should I do? Should I get a gift? Should I give a card? Or should I just not go? And he would always tell me the truth and always help me. And so, you know, I learned to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And I'm saying this, develop this gift now before you're in a place where it's pressure you got to know right now. Develop it now while there's time. Work while it's still day. Amen? That was extra. Okay. So I'm going to roll through this. And I just feel like if you feel led to say this proclamation, then say it. And if you don't, it's okay. But it's long. So maybe we'll take a sip of water. Yeah. Amen. So, yeah, the funny thing is sometimes you're not ready. There's a little rebellion saying, I ain't doing that. And this is between you and the Lord. But I love when people finally submit to the Holy Spirit and say, you know what, I'm going to trust you, even though I don't know what this means or how this is going to work out. And so here we go. Lord Jesus, I now ask that you would heal every wound in my soul that came from the sin of rebellion and every wound my ancestors had in their soul that got passed down to me. I decree I am filled with resurrection power. I already have it and I release it now into my soul. I will have nothing in common with the strong man, the king of darkness, because every wound that came from rebellion is being healed right now. Soul, you are strong, and I am able to bind the strong man and take back my temple, which is created in the image of God. I close the door to the evil king of rebellion and release myself from his captivity. Who the sun sets free is free indeed. I speak to my future bloodline and I renounce the king of rebellion and pour the blood of Jesus over this line. I call forth straight paths. I smash down the gates of bronze and cut through the bars of iron and release my children and my children's children from the spirit of rebellion by the blood of Jesus and the resurrection power of his word in me and through me. I renounce any and all agreement I made with the king of darkness, and I break and cancel all words of judgments that did not line up with God's word over my life. I pour the blood of Jesus over these words and render them null and void. I welcome the Spirit of Truth,
to
guide me
in all
truth,
and lead me
in the way of peace.
Thank you
for dealing with the slivers of my heart.
I reverse cell damage now.
In the name of Jesus,
I am made whole.
I live in total submission
to the Spirit of God
and walk in humility
and love always.
Amen.
Come on now.
Holy is the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Some of you felt right away a release.
Some of you will be like, I don't know, but watch and see.
Watch and see.
And I say that because there's more to the story.
It's 3:38. You want to hear some more, or are you done?
Okay.
So, this just happened,
and this is how great God is, okay?
So, I had a dream.
I'm guessing, I really am bad in time in the natural.
I'm guessing 2 weeks ago, could have been three,
could have been whenever.
Anyway, in the dream, I was walking in this awesome, beautiful, area that was like all trees and beautiful grass, and as I was just really loving the walk, I was by myself, and I came upon a town, and I didn't know anybody in the town, and I was walking into town, and I ran across an old friend, and her name was Chris Simic, and I saw Chris Simic, and she was so happy to see me, and I remember I was so happy to see her. And she said, hey, she's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I just went for a walk, and I came across this town. And she's like, I want to show you something. Will you come? And I'm like, okay. And so she takes me out of the town, and we start going towards this mountain. And as we're walking, the lush grass is no longer there. It's now ruddy. It's a small trail. It's narrow. And, it's dirt. And it's not a well-traveled path. And it's certainly not taken care of. And so we go, and we get to this point of I have to cross over to the, there's like a big opening between the mountain. Like I have to leap over into like this ledge on the mountain. And I remember looking at it and like thinking, I don't know, I can do this. And so I at the same time, I'm like, I am so tired. And I was, because I had just come out of the taskmaster pushing me, so I was healing and resting in the Lord, because I was just really exhausted because of all the work that was going on. And a lot of it was in the natural, and it was a season where I had to get a lot of stuff done, and that's another story. But, so I'm like looking at how far it is that I have to jump, and so I make the leap, I jump, and I don't hit it with my feet. I grab the ledge, and I'm holding on, and I remember thinking, I am so tired, and I don't think I can hold on any longer. And my friend Chris is down at the down, she's down low, and I knew it was a 40-foot drop. And so I'm holding on to the ledge, and she's like, just let go. And I'm thinking, I'm gonna shatter my feet. I don't wanna let go. But I'm also like, I don't think I can hold on any longer. And I'm like this, and then I wake up. And I'm like, Lord, what is that? I know it's not good. And so, one thing I know is when God gives you a dream, you pray it through. And I didn't understand any of it, okay? So I prayed on it and prayed on it and prayed on it. And I thought, oh, something's about the 40 feet. That's got to be it, And I'm thinking, it's the 40 feet. And it wasn't. It was... So the first thing as they teach us in Dream School, Janet and Steph, is sometimes people represent things. And so Chris Simic in the natural, because I don't hang out with her. She doesn't even live by us anymore.
And the last thing I knew about Chris Simic was she went through great persecution from the body of Christ, from friends of hers, and she'd always just be like, ah, they don't mean that. Oh, and she just loved them and continued to love on them. And I thought, huh. And so that was what I'm like, what's up with that? You know, so that was part one of the dream, and I'm praying and praying. And then I was reminded of a minister that I heard many years ago, and he was preaching this message, when you're at the end of the rope, sometimes you tie a knot and hold on, but other times you let go. And I was like, I don't like the let go part, you know, and I knew I didn't in the dream. And so I'm praying on it, and Holly and I bounced this off, and I really felt like it was the Sea of Promises. And so I knew I had to let go and go into the Sea of Promises. Well, you can't do that in the natural. You know, if it's a dream and it's a prophetic act, you have to pray it through. And in the natural, I want to work it through. Okay, let's get this. I'm going there, you know, whatever it is. But that's not how it works in dreamland. And so I'm like, Lord, I know I'm missing what you're trying to get me to understand. I got a feeling this is tied somehow to the taskmaster. But I'm not seeing it. I don't understand it. Will you show me? And I do believe, but I help me with my unbelief, whatever that is, because I don't know what it is. But something's wrong with me, and you're trying to get me to see it. And I can't see it, so will you please help me with this? And so fast forward, I'm praying in tongues on this for quite a while, you know, because it was, like, important. I knew it was, like, we're not going any further until this gets prayed through somehow, some way. And so in my case, he didn't give me another dream, but what happened was I was in Golden, Colorado in one of the sessions, and the music was playing, and we were worshiping, and I had a little bit of judgment on me. I didn't like the song. Anybody in here not like a song? So what I did is once I realized that, I just was like, Lord, I'm just going to focus on you and not on the song. You know, Lord, I'm here to glorify you, not to please my singing voice or any weird thing like that. And so I just started worshiping him from my heart. And all of a sudden, the fire of God came on me. And I was like, I'm going to burn up and combust. You know, when he comes like that, it's a refining fire. And I'm like, eh. And so this is happening. And at the same time, I feel his fire, and then I see him, and he's like got bronze legs. It's like flames of fire through him, and I can only see like from his knees down. And I realize I am holding on to that ledge. And I'm like, instantly I see his feet, and I see the scars in his feet. And it's like everything is just like fire. And I see instantly as I'm holding this, I see the fire come and burn two. I had ropes tied around my hand. And I see him, and they were holding onto the ledge. And I see him burn those ropes. And at that split second, I let go, and I said, I do believe. Whatever it is, it's all about you. And then, boom, I end up in the Sea of Promises. And I went, whoof, deep into the river, deep, deep, deep in the ocean of God. And I'm down there with Jesus, and he's telling me some stuff. And it is the most spectacular thing ever. And then all of a sudden, I realize I got to come out of this because I got to do announcements. And I couldn't, you know. And I'm like, he told me some stuff, and I'm repeating it back to him because I did not want to forget what he was telling me. And so they kind of were looking at me like, what's up? And I'm like stumbled to the table, and I managed to do the announcements. But what I want to tell you is, because I was like, wow, I didn't expect that. You can't expect when he's going to heal and deliver. So it's not a box. It's not a formula. It's all about him. And his ways are higher than our way, and managed programs. And so fast forward to yesterday. Yesterday, we were staying at this house, and it had a lock on the door, and we left in three cars, because the whole team is there. And Holly and I were leaving last, and the door wouldn't lock. And it was like, the door wouldn't lock. And I'm like, that's weird. And so she's like, well, maybe you just stay behind. And I was like, okay, I'll guard the toothbrushes. You know, I made a joke out of it because it was like, But I knew God was doing something, but I didn't know what. And I thought, okay, I'm going to go hang out on the couch with them because I got the house to myself. I've been with women forever, you know? And so I'm on the couch, and I realized, oh, my God, I got delivered. Because my old way would be, once the guy came to fix the lock, I'm taking an Uber. I got to get there in case something happens and they need me. And I'm like, oh, my God, you did deliver me. And I said, what was it? And this is what he said. I got to pull it on my note because it was so the revelation. He goes, remember the slivers of the heart? He goes, you had a sliver of worry. I'm like, worry? I am like the least amount of person to ever worry, but I don't worry. But I was worrying because of the spirit of excellency. And I'm like, wow. And I didn't see it. And so then I saw it. And then he said to me, all things are possible to those who believe. And I knew this is all about speaking from the place of rest in the spirit of his peace, releasing and decreeing, and things just come together, you know, speak to the mountain. And so then he gave me a scripture, because this kind of came at the end when people were coming back. You know, I was just hanging out with them. And then, because I was like, wow, what's up? I feel so free. You know, I really feel free. I'm not, my old way, I would have hitchhiked to get here or something, you know, just in case. And I'm like, I don't need to be at that service. It's not about me. It's not about me helping anybody. It's, Lord, you called me apart, and I'm going to enjoy the time with you. And so he gave me this scripture, and I was going to study it, and then I forgot because everybody came home on the break, and then I was going to bed that night, and he reminded me of worry again. And so I'm saying that because there's people in here who are struggling with worry, and you know, you may call it anxiety, but I have got a scripture, a prescription that I want to give you if I am in the right. Let me get it. It's in Philippians. I know that. Philippians 4. What verse was it, Janet? Do you remember?
4:8.
4:8?
Well, it might start 4, yeah. 6, 7.
Okay, here it is. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Listen, that is a key right there. I could preach an hour on this, I'm telling you, the revelation. Here's the thing. The Lord is near. Those of us that were struggling with worry or anxiety or hopelessness or it's never going to get better or this is always going to be this way, the Lord is near. He is our strong tower. We can grab hold of his promises and stand in his promises and not work them out, just stand in them, and he works it out through us. He takes care. He's our deliverer. And so, you know, for me, it goes a little deeper now because, behold, I give you authority to trample over every evil work, including all the creepy, crawly things. You know what I'm saying? But sometimes we know those promises and we try to work them out in the flesh. You cannot do this by the flesh. You know, you hear a teaching and you're like, well, I'm going to do that. No. It comes through him. And the only way to have it come through him is to know him. And so our only job is to know him. Spend time in relationship. Develop your relationship with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who leads and guides us in all truth. And he will make your path straight. And I just think that's so beautiful. But as we go deeper in, we are to release in the Spirit, while we're in the Spirit, decree and declare. You know, when you decree or declare in the flesh, like, you know, some of you were in the flesh when we did that proclamation, and some of you were in the Spirit. And when you decree in the Spirit, there's like, it is cement. It's a boundary marker that can never be moved by the winds that come and to and fro and blow. So I'm sharing that because this is what I love. The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, all understanding. He guards our heart. We can't even understand the revelation of how great and deep he is, yet he guards our heart and our mind in Christ Jesus. Not out of him. It's in him. So there's a place in him. You know, the scriptures talk about abide in him. You know, those are places that is not like some metaphor. That is actually in him I live and have my being. The body of Christ is being challenged to grow up and walk in the fullness, the full nature of Jesus Christ. Put on Jesus. Put on your full nature. You know, in him we can do all things. Out of him, we see what's happening. We see churches that are built up. Maybe they were birthed in the Spirit, but then man took over, or the boards come in, and they, you know, and even in the natural, you see it in buildings and governments and everything. In him, we decree and declare, and that's how stuff gets turned. We need people to be standing in offices, but it's by the Spirit of the living God that change takes place, because we are from above. Our citizenship is in heaven. We have the authority to rule and reign on earth as it is in heaven. And God is challenging us and waking us up to rule and reign. You know, I know people that are timid and fearful. I used to come from that. I am as bold as a lion when he's in me and has me speak a word. But you work that out. You work out the flesh. You get rid of those weird thoughts that come at you, and you guard your heart against deception. Now, we're in a season where there's deception everywhere, but it's being exposed. And so maybe you have some deception in your heart, and it's being exposed. It's good. It's good when stuff gets exposed, because when the air of God gets on it, it'll heal and deliver. But if you cover up deception, then the enemy in the darkness keeps it in bondage, and the choice is always ours. And so sometimes we don't know what to do or how to say it, and so we just say, Lord, help me. I want to know you. Will you teach me the walk of the Spirit? Will you show me how you want me to do certain things? Or how, I don't know how to pray. Will you teach me? I can't understand the word. Will you show me it? Will you spend time and mentor me? And he will, because you're his kid. Amen?